It is. It feels different to stand here compared to the Issei side, and I have way too many things inside my Bible. I have too many papers inside here, and I had two bulletins inside my Bible. One was from Lanai, where I went and preached a few months ago, and the title of the sermon's the same. The context is about 50% different. But as I was sitting up here, I opened one of the bulletins and to look at which number we were singing, and it was different. And I was thinking, well, they must have changed it or something. And then I looked down, and then it says, Children's Story, Andy Izuka. It almost gave me a panic attack right there. I was ready for the sermon, but not ready for the children's story. But I was glad that I was looking at the wrong bulletin. So lesson learned, I better not keep too many papers in my Bible. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, please help me to relay your words and open our hearts so that we can receive your words and apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Has anyone heard of the Harris Poll? It's a survey that's taken. You probably get all kinds of phone calls asking for surveys or mail in the mailbox, or emails for that matter. Harris Poll, this one was done in 2006 and 2008, so kind of old, but I think it still applies today. The survey was, what job do you respect the most? What kind of job do you have the most respect for? And the second question was, what job do you disrespect the most? You can probably guess some of them. The most respected job, teachers, probably lots of teachers in here, pastors, scientists, firefighters, military members, and police officers. And then nurses, doctors. I was happy to see that one there. Most disrespected jobs. Probably could guess these too. Journalists, Hollywood stars. I was kind of surprised to see that one, but actors and actress. I wasn't surprised to see this one. Lawyers. They're good lawyers out there too, but by far the number one, it wasn't lawyers, the number one, the most disrespected job. Can anyone have a guess? It was big business CEOs. I was kind of surprised. Big business CEOs. 2008. Does anyone remember what happened? I'm sure every one of you took a hit in 2008. I did. I took a big hit. I had a house in California and dropped about half the price. I moved. I was in the Navy at the time. Finished my residency at Camp Pendleton and moved to Japan. In Japan, the pay is... In the Navy, the pay is still in dollars, but the dollar value went from, I think it was 130 yen per dollar. It dropped to about 80 yen per dollar. That's 50 yen drop, about a 40% drop. Huge drop. 40% pay cut for me because I'm living in Japan. So I took a huge cut, took a huge hit. What happened in 2008? Financial crisis. A whole bunch of companies went bankrupt. A lot of people lost their jobs. Everyone, well, not everybody, but a lot of people point fingers at the CEOs at the time. One that the Japanese media talks about all the time is something called Lehman Brothers. I don't know if you guys remember Lehman Brothers. The CEO was Richard Fald. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but he also went by Dick Fald. He was the CEO for many, many years for the company. He made about $500 million in 7 years, 7 or 8 years. But the way he made that money was doing high-risk stuff. People probably remember about the subprime loans, subprime mortgage. He was heavily into that, and he went way over where he should have. A lot of people warned him, you better not do this. It's gonna bite you in the place that you don't want to be bit. Anyway, it did in 2008. It got to the point where they had to file bankruptcy. They say about, I can't even imagine the amount of money, but $40 billion down the drain. I can't even imagine $1 million, $1 billion, billions of dollars down the drain. He had to file for bankruptcy. Millions took a hit from this, including myself. I still have a job, thank goodness, but I took a hit. Lots of people lost their jobs. Lots of families split up as a result. The CEO, Mr. Fold, what is he doing right now? He's not flying a private jet anymore. He still flies first class. He sold some of his houses, but he still has 4 or 5 multi-million-dollar homes. He still lives a pretty plush life. One guy asked him on a TV interview, "How do you feel living this kind of life when millions have lost their job as a result of your irresponsibility?" He had no answer for that. No wonder people hate CEOs. As Kiana mentioned in her children's story, where your treasure is, where your heart is. Not all CEOs, I'm just putting it in general terms. The disrespected jobs, their hearts are in the wrong place. It's in the money. The respected jobs, teachers, scientists, firefighters, military members, police officers, and medical providers, a lot of them have their hearts to serve people. But the disrespected people, it's in the money. It's all for themselves. Today I want to talk about from Luke 5, 27 and 28, a man who had a job very similar to these CEOs. Let's turn to the Bible, Luke 5, 27 and 28. Luke 5, 27, 28. Going to go ahead and read. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. I'm going to pick word by word here these verses and then try to get some information and learn some stuff out of this. What's the first word that... Well, before that, it's talking about Levi, Matthew, a tax collector. We need to understand what tax collectors did. This is 2,000 years ago when Jesus lived. Israel had been conquered by first Babylon many hundred years ago. After Babylon, Persia was it? Persia, then Greece, and then the Romans were governing Israel, the Jews. The Romans were smart. Instead of forcefully collecting taxes from the Jews, they appointed people to collect taxes. And those were the tax collectors. They were chosen from the Jewish people to collect taxes. Now, who would want to do that? Nobody. So they had to give them a good salary. So the Romans offered a very good salary for these tax collectors. So it was a very high-paying job, but very disrespected job. Sounds similar to the CEO, huh? The first word that it says on verse 27, after this. So when you read the Bible, you can't just pick at certain things. You want to read the whole thing. It says after this. Before that, what was happening? If we go a paragraph back, it talks about the paralytic that was brought down through the roof down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he healed. He forgave the sins. And he healed the paralytic. The paragraph before that, it talks about Jesus healing the leprosy. Paragraph before that, it talks about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. So Jesus was doing all kinds of healing. And when we read Luke 5:17, this is what it says. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees, teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. So people from all over the country were coming to hear Jesus' word. He was famous. And it says, after this, right after he healed the paralytic. Can you imagine that? He's like the center of attention. Everyone wants to be him. Everyone wants to follow him. It's It's right after that. He comes out, and it says he saw a tax collector. Now, Jesus, we think he started his ministry around age 30. I'm about age 30. A little bit older than that, but about age 30. He was baptized by John the Baptist at age 30. Then the devil took him to the desert, tempted him for 40 days. And then we don't know how long exactly, but he started his ministry in the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee. Specifically, the town called Capernaum. And that's where this story, this healing, and these teachings was happening. Now, so it was early in his ministry. Early in his ministry. I'm early in my practice of medicine. I'm setting up my practice right now. It's been 1 year and a few months since I started my practice. When I start my practice, I have to start with a team. I think that's true for any business, teachers, companies. When you start your business, you make a team. When you make your team, you want to pick members that are good, members that are, in general, going to agree with your principles. Jesus, this was his time to pick his team. He had already picked four team members, fishermen, Peter, James, John, and Jacob. He had picked the four fishermen. Now he was searching for other team members. Who would you pick? Would you pick a tax collector? As a politician, you would never pick somebody who's going to go against you, or somebody who the media is going to want to pick up and point fingers at. But Jesus, he does something very surprising here. When he was at the center of attention, he comes out of the room after he heals a paralytic, and he sees a tax collector. The Hebrew word for the saw, it doesn't mean just sees. It means to understand, to feel for, to sense. So it has a deeper meaning than just seeing. When he actually saw the tax collector, he understood about the tax collector. He understood about Matthew. I want to turn to another verse, Luke 18:9-14. Go ahead and read it. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I have. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Now Jesus says it's a parable here. But how often do we say it's a parable, but it's actually something that happened? Now this is me saying this, it's not the Bible saying this. But I think Jesus may have seen Matthew giving this prayer at the temple. And that's why he understood what Matthew was going through. Now, it may not have been Matthew, it may have been Zacchaeus, it may have been a different tax collector. But I think it becomes very interesting when you think about it as if this tax collector was Matthew. Jesus understood his heart. So he saw Matthew, and then what did he say? Follow me. That's what he said. Follow me. That was a calling for Matthew. I believe each one of us has had a calling from Jesus one time or another. And that's probably why we come to church. That's probably why we do what we do at our job. I had a very interesting experience growing up. And it was somewhat of a calling. I was born in California. My father was getting his master's in Southern California at Long Beach, and I was born when he was getting his master's degree. When I was 3 and a half, my parents moved back to Japan, and that's where I was raised, in Japan, in an Adventist home, and went to the Adventist school, elementary school, junior high and high school. We start boarding school in Japan at age 12. I was very small when I started boarding school. And then it was during high school, I had a ruptured appendix, was hospitalized for about a month. I could go on and talk about that, but after that experience, I decided I was going to pursue the goal of career in medicine. Well, it's true in States, but true in Japan, too. To become a medical doctor, you have to study really hard. You have to have good grades. You have to have good recommendation letters. So in high school, I was studying my butt off. In Japan, it's a little bit different from the States. You start medical school right after high school. You take an exam, one exam, and that one exam determines whether you get into medicine or not. 18 years old. Kind of think it's kind of early, but that's just the way the system is. Medical school is 6 years over there. I was studying in high school to go straight into medical school. My grades are pretty decent. My chance of getting into medical school is pretty good. And then my senior year in academy, I was getting closer and closer to the exam time. About a month before the exam was the high school graduation. It's boarding school, so after that graduation, we go back home. But I think it's same in the States, but we have a graduation week where the Friday, Saturday, Sabbath, and Sunday is dedicated for the graduating school. Friday night, we have Vespers. We call a special guest to give the sermon. He does the sermon on Sabbath as well. But Friday night, when we were having the Vespers, I had this, similar to what I was having up here, a panic attack, where my heart was just didn't feel right. I just didn't feel right. I had no reason why I shouldn't feel right. Everything was going as planned, but I just didn't feel right. So I turned to my friend who was sitting right next to me, who I was very good friends with, and I said, "Yeah, brother, would you pray with me?" Of course, it's in the middle of a sermon, so we can't pray out loud, but we just whispered and had a prayer. And during that prayer, I heard a voice, and it said, "Go abroad." I was just blown away. Go abroad. God. Or I didn't even know if it was God's voice. So I asked my friend, "Did you say something to me right now in English?" And he looked at me like I was crazy and said, "No, I didn't tell you anything. Go abroad." And I prayed about it because you want to make sure it's God's voice instead of the devil telling you to go abroad. Prayed about it. The voice got louder. But I prayed to God saying, "Go abroad. That's not my plan. My plan was to take the exam, go to medical school in Japan." There's a famous saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell about your life plan, the plan for life. He probably was laughing. He probably was saying, "Oh, Andy, you just don't know the future that waits for you." Well, I kept on praying. I talked to pastors. I talked to teachers. I talked to friends, saying, "You know, I had this experience where I heard the voice, and the voice is getting louder within me. Go abroad." But I have the exam, which I didn't pay for it. My parents paid for it. Very expensive, several thousand dollars that they had paid for my education to get to that point. But the voice just kept on getting louder. And I came across this Bible verse. It's First, I got to make sure I get the right one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Some people probably already know it by heart. First Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Read. It says, "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pray continually. Up to that point, I don't think I've prayed so much in my life. I was praying whenever I had a chance. On the flight back, the academy was in Hiroshima. After the graduation, flew back from Hiroshima to Chiba, where my parents live. Prayed pretty much the entire flight because I was scared to face my parents and tell what I had gone through during graduation week. Told my mom first. I always tell things to my mom first. Probably a lot of teenagers are that way. They probably tell their moms first before they talk to their dads. Dads tend to be a little bit scary. Hopefully I'm not that way to Emma. But I talked to my mom, and she said, "If it's God's will, follow it." Well, with Dad, it wasn't that easy. When I talked to Dad, it was the biggest fight we've had. No fist fights. I would have lost. It was a pretty bad verbal fight. And the Japanese language is clean, so there weren't any bad foul languages flying. But if it wasn't English, there would have been foul language flying. That's how bad the fight was. In fact, we didn't talk to each other. We lived under the same roof, but we didn't talk to each other for about a week. Never happened in the past and never has happened since. But that's how badly Dad did not want me to go overseas. I could see his point. My father, he's fully Japanese, raised in Japan, but he went to La Sierra University for his bachelor's degree and Long Beach for his master's degree. He knew how hard it was to go overseas as a second language, English as a second language student. Plus, I was the oldest son, and he was the oldest son. My grandfather was the oldest. In Japan, the oldest son, kind of like the historical Jewish nation, the oldest son had a lot of responsibility at home, and you were supposed to inherit the land and take over the family. So his dream was for me to open a hospital in the land that we have in Japan and carry on the name. He knew that if I went abroad, I probably wasn't going to be coming back. Well, I won't say I'm not going back yet, but I'm in Hawaii now, so obviously not back there. So he really put up a fight. He had paid thousands of dollars for my education already and for the entrance exam. That's going to all go down the chute. But the conclusion I came to was, when the voice is so strong and when it's so convincing that it is from God, I better follow it. At the time, I had $500 that I had saved up during high school from working as a cashier at the cafeteria. That $500 was exactly enough to buy a ticket to go to Idaho, where my mother's parents were. So I told my father and my mom, I said, "You know, I'm not taking the exam. I'm going abroad. I don't know if I'll have enough money to go to college, but I said I'm going abroad." Once I said that, Dad opened up. Dad gave up, and he paid for my ticket. I was able to pocket that $500, and I packed up my suitcase, one suitcase, and left for the States for college. So I followed the voice. Let's go back and see what Matthew did after he heard the voice, "Follow me." Luke 5:28. What does it say? "Luke got up, left everything, and followed him." Left everything. It didn't say he picked up his money. It doesn't say he picked up his wallet. It doesn't say he picked up his resume or his CV. It says he left everything. Now, for Matthew, to leave everything, that's huge. This was a guy who had nothing but money. That was the only thing he had in his career was money, wealth. That was the only thing he had. And he left that to follow Christ. I think that's something to be learned. There's many other similar examples, like the fishermen. What does it say in the Bible with Peter, John? They said they left everything. They left their ship, they left their nets, they left their parents. They left their family to follow Jesus. Paul says this, Philippians 3:8. Here's another reason not to have too many papers in your Bible. You don't know where you've stuck the right paper and where. Philippians 3:8 says this, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Isn't that so true? All the wealth, all the money you may own, if you don't have Christ, you're really missing out on a huge thing. What I ask everybody is, what is your calling? Now, right now, the Japanese, the Issei side has already met and picked next year's members for leadership positions. I think the English side is meeting right now, selecting the leadership roles. It may be a role that you absolutely do not want to do. There are positions like that. But if it's a calling from Jesus, and I believe the committee, we always pray before meetings, and I believe the Holy Spirit is guiding us who to choose for each position. If you're asked to fill a position, it may be a tough position to fill. It may require more energy from you than your actual job. But take that as a calling from Jesus. His disciples left everything to follow Jesus. Is there a reason why there were no Pharisees or no high priests that followed Jesus? Was it because God didn't call him or Jesus didn't call him? Or was it because they weren't willing to leave their positions, their possessions? Makes you wonder. So my prayer today is that each one of us will keep on praying so that we can hear the voice and also follow the voice. When he says, "Follow me," let's hope that our heart is ready to follow his leading. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for leading us to church. Thank you for leading our family to church. And if our family isn't here, please help us to be witnesses for our family. Help us to be guides to our friends so that we can guide them to church. Help us to hear your voice through our friends or through the scriptures or any way. And help us to follow that voice and help advance your message to the world and prepare for your second coming. Please be again with Pastor Mark and his family as he keeps on preaching on the gospel in Japan. And again, please be with us as we continue to fellowship this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.